Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Israel, the Most High, our power, Yah, is one. That would have been Shammai, Israel. Shabbat shalom to the family, to the Mishpachah. Let us sound the shofar and sound the alarm. our Abba in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Father, we thank you for the Sabbath of rest and refreshing and relaxation. And we ask peace to be upon scattered tribes spread throughout the four corners of the earth. May they know your blessings, your glory, and your free will, Father. That's what I pray. And may the prophets that prophesy today be blessed, and the hearers to be blessed. Send forth deliverance, manifestations of your blessings. Send forth your peace, your glory, your honor, your joy. Father, we can't make it without you, but you brought us this far, and we know that you won't forsake us. We love you. We magnify you. And to the Mishpachah, we say Shammai, Israel, Most High our power is one. We glorify you today.
Shema, 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 Shema.
Shalom. Welcome to Blueprint for Life. I'm your host, Be the Preacher of this Shabbat. Glad to be with you. It's been a blessed week, a week of laboring and trying to pull in the harvest so that we can sustain ourselves by working 6 days and resting on the seventh day. Not just working at the at what we call the plantation, working mentally, verbally, just every week there is an assault or an attack, or for some of you, an elevation and promotion on your spirituality and your livelihood by existential threats. And on this day, we cease from answering or fighting or warring against the existential threats, and we focus in on the Creator who's inside of us. Exist on the inside, and we reinvest into our spirituality on today, and our flesh, our mind, our souls, our spirits, and we refresh ourselves. We cease from troubling, as the scripture would say, because he's a fence around us. He actually provides for us on this day so that we do not have to fall into the plight of defending ourselves, but he allows us rest. For it was the Most High, if you think about it, that made creation within 5 days, and on the sixth day, he created us to enjoy it on the seventh day after creating us on the sixth day. And so I say to you that your destiny has already been provided for. I was sharing this the other day that the first 5 days was the making of what was to be our inheritance. and then us in one day. There's something that's being built and prepared for you. And I want you to understand that you haven't gotten there yet. You haven't been made to enjoy it yet, because that's the seventh day. But walk in your prominence, your king and queenship, and know that there's a change that is coming because of Yeshua and how good he is to us on this day. He is our rest. We pray for Yeshua HaMashiach, in this world, we call Jesus Christ. Give him praise and honor. Yeshua, our Savior, all praises belong to him today. This is We the Preacher, and you're listening to Blueprint for Life, a show that's been running for 12 years and designed to help you to understand that the commandments, statutes, and laws were never done away with. In fact, a blueprint for how we should conduct our lives. We want to restore the moral fiber, community, and our land. Then we must come back to who we are as a people, the true original Hebrews of the land that fled captivity, tried to flee captivity, but we're in our final captivity. I'll give you to know that. You should give all praises to the Most High, which is the American captivity. There was Roman, there was the Greek, there was Persians, there was Babylon, there was Egypt. We've been through many captivities and built many civilizations, but I want you to know it was not the people, it was us and our disobedience to the Most High, according to Deuteronomy 21, 28, Leviticus 26. We find out that he warned us very clearly in Deuteronomy 28 that if we did not keep the law, statutes, and commandments, these curses would come upon us and throughout our generations. I think I'm going to have to do a lesson where we go back into Deuteronomy 28 and establish that we are those people. We're the people of the book, but we're the people also spoken in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, because it said that these should be on you as a sign forever until our Redeemer, our brother, the Messiah, returns and comes back. So that was Yeshua HaMashiach that you heard the sister so eloquently singing about in the background. So we want to make help to our endeavor is to make the commandments relevant to you, to show you how to make them applicable in your life today so that they can be a blueprint for how to conduct your life. It's very important. There's the Big Ten, the dietary laws, Big Ten is considered the moral laws. You find that in Exodus 20. And then you find other laws that were indicative of the culture of our people. You know, Al Moida also has the Black Cultural Restoration Association, where we're looking to help people to historically and scientifically understand who we are as a people and where we come from. Because you must know that's half the battle. who you are as a people so that you can make these laws applicable to your life and help you to identify, you know, some of these social ills that we go through as a people. Very important. And we must do so. So today, we're going to get into some of the health and wholeness, as well as go into the reading of the law. Today, I'm going to do some of the reading of the law out of a chapter that I don't think I've ever really gone into. It's a little bit different, but you'll just get a chance to see some of the instructions given to us as a people, and I'll try to make it relevant as it pertains to today's time in this captivity of the Americas. And we are at the 400-year mark that we talked about this year. It has just begun at the Feast of Tabernacles, the 100-year mark of when the first slave landed at Point Comfort, Virginia, which is very befitting of the prophecy of 400 years of captivity. I think you should begin to see, you should expect to see some great things being fulfilled in the coming 2020. That's right, 2020. I'm going to read some of that Nehemiah as well, and then we'll cover some of the herbs. But we'll do that when we come right back. Let's take a break because we're chilling on the
set. On a sad day, while everybody's out doing what they want to do, we're reading scriptures and singing to the Most High, because we know the law and we keep the Father's holy commandments. So let people say what they want to say. Let them mock you for keeping his day, yeah. We gon' be ready when Christ returns. They be having church on the wrong day, and they despise everything that we say, yeah. Even when we show them in the holy word,
the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, and we should always honor the Most High. Exactly what he says, and don't let them non-believers convince you that the law is done away with. You just rest and chill with the Most High, cause your Father knows who's here. So you tell them we're chilling on the Sabbath.
Say, hey, say we're chilling.
We're chilling on the Sabbath. We're chilling on the Sabbath.
Say we're chilling on the Lord's Day.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
Me and you back though, and you tell them this right here.
Now don't look for me on no Sunday at your church no more, cause now I keep the holy Saturday. See, I can show you in my Bible, Exodus chapter 20.
Verse
8. The fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy.
Oh.
And we should always honor the Most High.
Honor the Most High.
And do exactly what he says. And don't let the non-believers convince you that the law is done away with.
What you do?
You just rest and chill with the Most High. Cause the Father knows,
cause
who
the Father
is.
Knows who he is.
Don't you tell him.
We're chilling on the chilling on the Sabbath. Welcome back. This is Big Al Moyder Presents Blueprint for Life on the Social Change Network. And we do this on the Shabbat to get this word out that the commandments are still relevant today. If you want a blessed Kodesh, Kodesh is Hebrew for set apart, holy. You want a blessed Kodesh life, keep these commandments. Don't let nobody tell you they can't be kept. That's why we didn't do it. No, they can be kept through seeking perfection, because the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You can't be conformed until you conform to something. The something are the Hebrew statutes, laws, and commandments that will transform the way you think, react, and respond to anything and everything in life. This is a template, and that's why we call it Blueprint for Life. It's a template how to dress, what to do. So what it becomes is a fence around you. You're not under the, I don't know who created that term, but it has a psychological impact on people to hear that we're no longer under. I never was under. I was surrounded by the law. And that's the way you must see it. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later before I get into the real law, about the fact that the disciples kept the law, kept the Sabbath 83 times in the New Testament. So it's not a matter of New Testament, Old Testament. If you understand Jeremiah 31:31 and Hebrews 8:8, you understand that the new covenant has not been established yet. That's another lesson within itself, and we'll get into that. All right, love that song right there with that brother, Chilling on the Sabbath, the Shabbat. I am going to get into the health and herbal segment real quick before we get into the reading of the law. So let me cover that. Today we've got some interesting things that I want to reiterate about this particular herb and supplement change your life. One I want to talk about today is cilantro. Now I want to give you the 12 benefits of cilantro, because we know that a healthy body helps to promote a healthy soul and spirit. And I behold, God has given us the ministry of healing and herbs in this ministry. And we want you to know that Most High told you to go and sin no more. He also wants you to change your eating habits, your lifestyle, the way you approach food, the way you look at food, the way you look at herbs and leaves for your healing. Now listen to this. I want you to write this down. Some of the benefits of cilantro. A lot of you probably don't even utilize that particular vegetable as much. But the important thing about cilantro is that it rids the body of heavy metals like arsenic, cadmium, aluminum, lead, mercury. These are things you find inside of vaccinations as well. And what happens is that metals get deep inside your tissues that can cause hormonal imbalances, neurological conditions, infertility, and much more. So cilantro, which is also known as coriander, has been shown to bind all these metals together and loosen them from the tissue and help eliminate it. So using cilantro, and then think about using something like a type of husk, selenium husk, or activated charcoal, will begin to flush and detox your body. Lead causes stress in your body. So removing the metals out of your body will help to get rid of fatigue and get rid of these stubborn deposits. It causes oxidative stress, degenerative diseases, Alzheimer's disease. Heavy metal is what's causing these Alzheimer's. Check your deodorant. Heart disease, cancer, it's from the metal. Your deodorant has aluminum in it. You put that under your arm, which is the most sensitive, porous aspect of your body that will absorb, and you're just putting that inside yourself. We got to be wiser, because we have to combat the fact that they're trying to destroy Israel. Zion, yes, Hebrew brother and sister, you are getting the sickest in the world, cancer and lupus and diabetes and having limbs cut off. We've got to become more conscious about what we put in our bodies. It's a ministry. Cilantro reduces anxiety. It lowers blood sugar levels, supports heart health, prevents urinary tract infection, protects even against food poisoning. It'll settle your digestive upset stomach, supports healthy menstrual function, prevents neurological inflammation. That goes back to the Alzheimer's disease. Inflammation is a problem sickness. When you're inflamed and you're full of mucus, it's a big problem sickness. So I would say get you some cilantro, put it on top of everything, in every food, almost like cayenne pepper, which has the same effect. It's good for the heart and the cardiovascular system. But we're sticking with cilantro today. It can protect against colon cancer. And even if you use it externally, it helps to soothe skin irritation. Now I got a mineral for you. This is very serious. I want you to hear me. This is what I'm going to share with you again. There is a supplement, a mineral called L-arginine. Let me spell it for you. Capital L-A-R G-I-N-I-N-E. Please listen closely because I want you to get this. L-A-R-G-I-N-I-N-E. L-Arginine. The gentleman who made this discovery is no longer with us because he began to print medical journals showing what he had found from this mineral and the impact it has on people. America has the highest ratio of heart disease in the world because of the way we eat. What is L-arginine? It is nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is a powerful neurotransmitter that helps blood vessels relax and also improves your circulation. Evidence has shown that arginine improves blood flow in the arteries of the heart. Means it improves symptoms of clogged arteries, helps with chest pain, angina, and coronary artery disease. If your parents aren't on this, they need to get on it. And if you are experiencing a lot of chest pains, angina, or you have some type of coronary artery disease, L-arginine. Your doctor's not going to tell you this. So V is telling you this. This is serious. My parents have both had strokes and been stroke victims. And I've got them on this stuff now to try to reverse the effects. And now that I know it runs in my family and DNA, I take it to deal with my arteries. So in between cilantro, getting rid of the metals out your body, and this L-arginine, this can produce a healthier temple for the Ruach HaKodosh, a healthier lifestyle, so that your mind can be clear to praise the Father and give him the glory that's due him. Hallelujah. That's what I want you to do. So that's our health and herb segment for today. Let's get into the reading. Acts 15. As I stated earlier, that you'll find in the New Testament, so-called New Testament, that the apostles, the Acts, actually the apostles of the book of Acts and the rest of the other epistles actually kept the Sabbath 85 times. You'll have it documented. So people need to understand that the seventh day is the Sabbath day. It is not Sunday. That is from Constantine. That is from the Roman Catholic Church in the 1800s, saying they officially changed the day of worship to Sunday. And then you got the Christian church calling Sunday the Lord's Day. And you know what I say to them? What scripture is that? There's no scripture to back that. Don't let people give you slogans, phrases, epithets, words, philosophical viewpoints. Ask them, what scripture is that? Because 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us all scripture is given by the inspiration of Yah and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction, that the man of Yah might be thoroughly furnished. So you need to understand that when Shaul, Brother Paul, wrote that all scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16, that he was in reference to Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, and the Tanakh, which is the book of the prophets, such as Ezekiel, Isaiah, Adiah. And so only scriptures they were reading during that time, because they didn't walk around with these personalized, stripped down versions of a Bible. They went to the temple, the synagogue, open up the large scrolls and hear the book of the prophets and the Torah. And we find the apostles doing this too. So when Timothy is referred to and it says that all scripture is given, it was in reference to what was given to Moses and what was given to the prophets, not the letters they were writing to the churches of Ephesus and Corinth and Philadelphia. No, these were letters, sermons, encouragements, exhortations to the various churches while most of these guys were in jail or imprisoned. They would write a letter. It's like you sending a text message or an email. That's what that was. But the scriptures are the first five books and the book of the prophets. These are the ones given by inspiration of Yah. And there are many more, such as the book of Jubilees and the book of Enoch. Ezra wrote over 200 and something books. And Most High said, seal them up. So there's so much out there for you to learn. But I tell you, like in the book of Ecclesiastes, which means the preacher, which is why I use be the preacher, the Ecclesiastes. But the last book of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, the last verse, it says, to the reading and learning of books, there's no end. You'll grow weary. He said, at the end of the day, fear Yah and keep his commandments. And that's what we're here to talk about. Let's talk about the fact that these apostles in Acts 13 and the 15th verse, how they went to the synagogue to hear the reading of the law. I'm going to start at 13. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, the city, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. John, departing from them, he went back to Jerusalem. Okay, but when, verse 14, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and they went into the synagogue on the day and sat down. Paul didn't say, I'm the man. Call me to the pulpit. Let me sit in front. He went into the synagogue on the seventh day, which is Sabbath, Sabbado, Sabbaton, Sabbadu. The word seven comes from Sabbath. Yeah, way around it. It's not Sunday. And they sat down in the back. And it says in verse 15, after the reading of the law, Torah, and the prophets, Tanakh, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, hey, you brothers in the back, if you'd like to have a word of encouragement for the people, come on up. Verse 16, Paul stood up with his hands, like you know how we like to use our hands when we talk. He said, men of Israel, and ye that fear the Most High, listen to me closely. 17 says, the Yah of this people, of Israel, chose our fathers. See, Paul, Shaul was saying this because in Acts, the third chapter, he told everyone that he's from the tribe of Benjamin and that Christ and Yah have not done away with the children of Israel or the 12 tribes. This is after the resurrection of Christ that Paul's telling you that the 12 tribes are not done away with. Myself, I am of the tribe of Benjamin. And now he's reaffirming verse 17, saying the Yah of this people, of Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years, suffered he their manners in the wilderness. So what you have is Paul going to the front of the synagogue to preach to the people about the goodness of the Most High. And he has done and what he's going to do. This all happened on the Sabbath in the synagogue as they stopped from preaching and teaching and laboring in the streets and went to sit down in the back and just hear the reading of the law. So with that said, let's go into the law. Let's go into some reading of the law. Before I go deep into the reading of the law, I want you to see something in Nehemiah, and then we'll read some of this law. Nehemiah, the first chapter. Pull that up. Give me a second. Listen to Nehemiah. Nehemiah 1, 1 through 7. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year. It's interesting because we're going into 2020. As I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, the Hebrews, it really should say, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem, verse 3. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. I got to pause for a second because it was the 20th year, and he only found a remnant left in that particular captivity. I know that there will only be a remnant of us. If you go into the archives, I did a lesson on who are the remnant. Those that will survive and come through this coming tribulation of this earth and this land. There will be a remnant that will have gone through great affliction and reproach. And if there's anyone that has been afflicted and have gone through reproach and carried burdens, you know it is our people. Now, I'm not against any other nations because you've been grafted in according to Acts, 10th chapter. We know this. And in the book of Jeremiah. So we are all grafted in, but he has a people. And I've made that clear in times past. But moving on, Nehemiah was dealing with this same predicament. Let's see how he dealt with it. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. Verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I fell down and began to weep. Nehemiah began to cry and he mourned certain days. And he fasted and prayed before the power of heaven, before the God of heaven. Verse 5, he said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Listen to this. He said, O Yah of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant. God does not break covenant. If he gave something, he's not going to change his mind and say, you don't have to do it no more. He can't lie, change, refute. He's irrefutable. He keeps covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. If you will love him, because he said, even in John, it said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. When you exhibit love and a desire to keep commandments, you're the one who experiences mercy and grace, not the commandment breaker who will not keep a holy day, who will not keep a Sabbath, who will not keep the dietary laws of staying away from pork, crab, lobster, and shrimp. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer. Hear my prayer. He asked. He said, I'm fasting and praying. Please listen to me. He said, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants. He was interceding on behalf of all the children of Israel in this particular captivity. And confess the sins. He was confessing the things that we're doing wrong, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We dealt very corruptly against thee by serving other gods, other idols, delving into practices, not keeping the commandments, not keeping the Sabbath, not keeping the holy days, just getting caught up into society. When he said, come out of her, my people, means separate yourself from this world. We have dealt corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments nor the statutes nor the judgments which thou commanded thy servant Moses. We didn't want to keep them. And this is the same thing today. And this is why we go back to Chronicles that says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face and pray and turn. I do a show on Wednesday. It's called 180 Degrees. To turn is to turn 180, not 360. Because that puts you back in the same direction. If my people who will call by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will they hear from heaven. See, so this is what you got Nehemiah understanding. And he's interceding because he's been fasting. He knows the Most High has seen his sacrifice and have not kept the commandments, statutes, judgments which thou told Moses. Verse 8, I beseech thee the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost parts of the heaven, yet I will gather them from thence and will bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Verse 10, he's saying, now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. So if you look closely at 8 and 9, he's saying that if we didn't keep them, he'd scatter us. Have you ever watched the Olympics and a track meet, and you have all these other countries and nations, and you got these brothers running, and they all look like cousins? It's the scattering. We are in every nation speaking every tongue because of our disobedience to the commandments. But he's saying, if you'll come back to my commandments when the time comes, I'm going to gather you from every nation, the enslaved, the one without passport, the felon. If you come back to the commandments, he's going to gather us and take us to a place where his name is. It's not no catching up, no supernaturalness. He's going to gather us supernaturally. That's a lesson for another time. Once you see the importance of Nehemiah getting ready to restore his people, restore the commandments in the land in the 20th year, and restore so that they can come up out of captivity and be in their own place. And that is like a setup for me to go back to Deuteronomy 21, because there's something I want to point out. This is a chapter I've never really delved into, because it's got some very interesting things about our culture, Hebrew culture. And listen to this. I'm going to point this out. Deuteronomy, the 21st chapter, the first verse. If one be found, this is the Most High giving instruction, laws to our culture, and how to deal with certain things. This is how I'm trying to make it. If one be found slain in the land which the Most High gives thee to possess, and if he's found lying in the field, it'll be not known who hath slain him or killed him, then the elders and the judges shall come forth, and they shall measure unto the cities which are round about him that is slain. Verse 3, and it shall be that the city which is next unto the slain man, even the elders of that city shall take a heifer which hath not been wrought with, and which hath not been drawn in the yoke. Verse 4, and the elders of the city shall bring the heifer unto a rough valley, which is neither eared nor sown, and strike off the heifer's neck there in the valley. 5, and the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near from them. These are the spiritual leaders at the time, okay, and the political officials, the elders. For them the Most High Yah hath chosen to minister to the people, and to bless the name of Yah, and by their words shall every controversy and every stroke die. 6, and all the elders of the city that are next unto the slain man shall wash their hands over the beheaded heifer in the valley, and they shall say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither do we know who killed this man. Our eyes have not seen it. Verse 8, be merciful, O Yah, unto the people of Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto the people of Israel's charge, and the blood shall be forgiven them. Now listen, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, was our ultimate sacrifice who shed the blood. What I want you to see is that innocent blood that has been shed cries out from the ground, and he casts judgment upon a people that innocent blood. We have to be mindful of the death in our communities and those that hurt and harm the innocent and shed blood. Blood cries out. Blood speaks from the ground. The book of Revelation tells us that the blood cries out up into heaven begging for revenge. When that happened, Abel's blood cried out from the ground, and the mark of Cain was produced because of what he had done. It got Yah's attention. It gets his attention, the death and murder rate in our own communities of the shedding of blood. This is why they don't want you coming back to your culture, because the Ten Commandments and parts of scriptures like this help to give us understanding on how we should act as a people, and will help to restore us and restore the moral fiber of our communities as we draw our God, Yah, through Yeshua. And when we come back to him, see, this is what they don't want to see happen. Even in your Freemason halls and 33rd degree level, they don't want you to come back into prominence. That's the secret that is taught. That's the illumination that you are the people of Yah. If my people who are called by my name, you look at the slave records, you'll see that it was in all of our names. You'd find it hidden in our names. Eliyahu, Matanyahu. Okay, I could go on and on. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Yeshayahu, Yachanan, which was John, Kaifa, Peter. We have to come back to him. And this is what we glean when we peek into this. But he's going to gather us, and he's going to restore it. He's going to put us in the wilderness according to Revelations, even the 9th chapter, and take us up under the rod, which is put everybody up under the commandments. So which why these things are a type and shadow now? We're practicing the laws and commandments to prepare ourselves and to have protection and holiness around us and sanctification and be near to him. And we do it because we love him. And when we get in the wilderness, it won't be nothing but a thing to keep these commandments. But there are going to be many that will be purged, because they're not going to want to keep the commandments. The scripture says many will hide behind a tree and begin to eat rodents and mice and swine. They'll eat all the foreign foods because they'll still crave these delicacies, but you're going to be killed. I'm sorry to say, you will not make it out of the wilderness into the new Jerusalem, new Jerusalem that he is preparing for us. You know what? I want to read some more of this. Prayed that the Most High would not deal with them for innocent blood. Well, no, this actually gets into the fact of when you conquer and when you go to war, and if certain men wanted to marry certain women from the places that they conquered, that those women, after they've mourned for 30 days, they could be trolled and they're not to drive them out. It's a very interesting chapter. It also talks about the fact that if you have sons from, if they had different sons from different wives, but it gets into a rebellious son. In verse 18 through 23, do you know they used to stone rebellious children that rebelled their mother? They would chase them, and if they didn't listen after chastening, they were stoned. I know a lot of people say this is was a cruel guy. Marcion of 188 AD, he taught that there was two different gods, which was a lie, because he was the first one to come up with a with the Bible that had all of Paul's letters, none of the Old Testament, and some of the writings of the Gospels of Christ, and said Paul was the only true apostle. Marcion, 188 AD, the first compilation of scriptures, where he came up with a canon, his own canon. This was before the Council of Trent, the Council of Nicaea. This is before they all came up with their little canons of scripture. And it's because nobody wanted to deal with the Yah that doesn't play. And we serve a God that doesn't play. If you constantly curse him, deny him, struggle with him, and do not blaspheme him or his Holy Spirit, he will bring forth judgment. Brothers and sisters, I tell you that there's nothing Satan can even do to you unless he gets Yah's permission. He said, I create the good and the evil. This is what Yah said. I created both. I use them for my purpose and my power. I'm giving Satan a little bit of time on this earth when his time is coming to finish the land, heal the land, gather my people who keep my commandments. Revelations 22 and 14. The only one's going. Not you that get up on Sunday and put your fancy hats on and eat what you want, do what you want, sleep with who you want. No, not you. You're not saved by your righteousness. You're sanctified and set apart through your being kodesh by keeping the commandments. Because you know why? These commandments, your flesh will tell you tough, but your spirit will tell you it's right, and it will transform you, and you will grow closer to Yah. You cannot be converted, according to Psalms 19 and 7. Until you start keeping these commandments. That is the truth. When we come back, take a brief break, we're going to get into the lesson. You are unstable. We're going to talk a little bit about instability.
Hallelujah. This is truth music, the truth movement. Movement. Yo. We've been a part of the biggest conspiracy the planet has ever known, man. You ever wonder why everybody seems to hate us? Everywhere we go, seems like everybody hate us. The world is against us. We gonna bring y'all some light, you know what I mean? Check it out.
It's been a long time, but we waking up so many lies been told. We waking up so many locked up, so many shot down. You can't keep Judah from his crown. Try to hold us, try to break us, take our names away, but couldn't shake us. Now praise to the Most High when on your mic. What's going on? We live a life.
Lie to us, Christians lie to us. Read the Bible, the history is tied to us. Nobody cried for us, Messiah died for us. Ask the saints, all of them cry for us at last. The truth has finally come out, we the people of the Bible. This is no doubt, can these bones live? I am living proof and baffled. Why my people hate the truth? False religions, false idols, false titles. This is truth music, not elementary recitals. Feel this, y'all, get close to the speaker. The world strengthens me when I'm feeling weaker. Let it sink down deep, deep into your mind.
lifetime.
Welcome back to Blueprint to Life. This is Dr. T. It's a pleasure to be back here with you. Hope you had a chance to tune in earlier, catch up on the Health and Herb Show and the reading of the law. We're going to go ahead and get into it. The title of the message and the lesson today is You Are Unstable. We're going to talk about instability as it pertains to the mind of Yah. But we're going to take a little twist on this because people think that I am pointing the finger at particular people or trying to make a mockery of people, and I'm not. I want you to understand easily you can be swayed into instability by lending your ear to the wrong counsel, the wrong sermon, the wrong message, the wrong church. We have ears, and most times we're looking for something that appeals to us and appeases us. But the word is a double-edged sword. And what you need to hear, you don't want to hear because it's going to hurt you and change you and purge you and separate your flesh from your spirit. And that is a battle. Psalms, the first chapter, first verse said, not in the counsel of the ungodly. It is a warning. Nor stand in the way of sinners with your wicked counsel. Because you have this swaying instability and you're double-minded, you seek counsel from people that gratifies your flesh. You seek a sermon that appeases your flesh. Slap three people, tell them I'm walking into my season. That's what you want to hear. And that's foolishness. But let me go in the direction that Peter went into, which you better understand, because Peter was given a warning about Apostle Paul. You see, they didn't really see eye to eye too often. They didn't really get along too well, but they knew they had to for the sake of HaMashiach, Christ, and the work, which is what the Lord's Prayer is about. We don't carry grudges. Just, you do you, I'm going to do me. And I'm going to come over here. I was going down with Caiaphas and Shaul, Peter and Paul. So Peter's given a stern warning because Paul was mostly ministering to the Gentiles who had a different commandment. They are grafted in. They must keep the commandments. But other nations aren't chastised for not keeping the commandments because they were not given to them to keep. It was given to the children of Israel, the 12 tribes. You melanated. Yes, sir. Now let's get into this real quick. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. 13th verse. I'm going to start there. Well, you know what? I want to start with 12. I want you to see something. And this is the King James Version. It's the only thing I fool with because there's 100,000 verses, words missing from the NIV. And it was edited by Satanists, Lieutenant Pipe, Harper Collins, Rupert Murdoch, and his editors. 2 Peter 3 and 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of Yah. This is the day of the Lord that these people keep talking about on Sundays. But the day of the Lord, if you do a study on that, in which I don't use Lord, it's either Yah, Yahweh, the Most High, our power. But when you pull up day of the Lord, you find out that that's going to be a dark day. Even Peter says, wherein the heavens will be on fire, it shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt. Urban heat. It's going to be a dark day. This is what Jude is talking about, the coming of our brother Yeshua with a sword, blood, tattoo on his thigh, in a sleigh. Verse 13. Let me get into the lesson of instability. 2 Peter 3, 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. Did you hear that? We're looking for a new heaven and new earth. We're not looking to go up in some rapture to some make-believe land like Oz with golden streets. No, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and you're going to have eternal life in it and enjoy it the way he intended for it to be with Adam and Eve in the beginning. He created a paradise. He's going to recreate a paradise for us to live in eternally, brothers and sisters. Let me read it again. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Meaning the laws and commandments, all that will be written in the heart, will be kept. There will be no more evil. Now, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeking that ye look for such things, that you're looking for these things. You want to be in this place, looking for that day and for the blessedness. Be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, blameless. Without spot and blameless means that you are allowing the statutes, laws, and commandments to transform you, change you, clean you, and sanctify you. And that is a process of conversion. And I told you conversion is Psalms 19:7. The law of the Lord's perfect and it converts the soul. I don't want to hear nobody's perfect. Nobody can be perfect. You can be perfect if you strive for perfection day by day. When you give in to your sins, it's because you want to sin. Because the scripture tells us that with every sin, there's a way of escape. He allows Satan to tempt you or your flesh tempts you, but he always makes a way of escape. You see that door that says escape, break in case of emergency or emergency exit, and you won't take it. You won't take it out. I remember Joseph when Potiphar's wife was trying to rape him, and he ran and left his jacket behind to get away from this woman who was chasing him. Some of you brothers' feet turned to cement when a naked woman trying to molest you. You not try to run away. The Most High always makes a way of escape from sinful behavior or life. Nevertheless, let me tell you what I'm saying. You must be found of him in peace when he returns. Peace, no spot, blameless. That means your heart is broken and willing to change and become perfect without spot. You seek him daily. You don't seek the fleshly desires. You don't seek the world. You're seeking the laws and kingdom. This is what we wear fringes for, to remind us of the law. This is why we wear holy garments. Wrap your heads, women. And brothers, keep your word, your sword, to remind us every day to focus on being perfect in him by keeping these laws, treating our brothers and sisters right, according to Leviticus 19 and what Christ said, the two greatest commandments. Now let me get into verse 15 is where it really hits the fan. And account that the long suffering of our power is salvation. Then he goes and he makes a switch. It's a paradigm shift. He says, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. He said, yeah, he wrote the same thing. He's confirming that Paul confirmed him and they speak the same things. But then he goes on to say this in verse 16, as also in all his epistles, his letters, his emails, he's speaking in them of things which are some things kind of hard to be understood. Peter's establishing and expressing and knowing that I know a lot of you talking to the Hebrews don't really understand what Paul's saying. This is the problem here. Every Sunday, I'd say 90% of the sermons come from the letters of Paul in the Christian church. And when I see people who come into the truth get thrown off, they thrown off because of Paul. I was in a situation where I let someone get exposed to Sunday sermons and started hearing stuff, and immediately Satan came in because it brings confusion. And if you're unstable, you're easily confused because you have an itching ear. And even Paul said there's silly women out here because it's laden with sin. You're easily, you can let somebody come easily whisper in your ear, your pastor. Pastor said, I'm being serious. Now listen to what he said. He said some of his things, the letters that Paul write, and you hear this mostly on Sundays, and with those that still Christianized, because Christianity is not in the Bible. Christ wasn't a Christian. He was a Hebrew, keeping Hebrew, Leviticus 23, holy days. He said this. He said that his not only are his letters hard to be understood, 2 Peter 3:16. He said They that are unlearned, let me pause, unlearned in what? What were they learning? They were learning scripture. What is scripture? I said this at the beginning of the show. Scripture is Torah and Tanakh. Just today will tell you not even read the Old Testament, but listen to your pastor as he philosophically preaches one of Paul's confusing verses and then pontificates from there with a motivational speech and not preaching the gospel of the Torah and Tanakh. You that are unlearned, you only know what your pastor tells you. You don't study this book or books. You don't know it because all you know is what Paul said, not even what Christ said. You know more about what Paul said than Yeshua HaMashiach. It says, which they unlearned and unstable rest. You rest on the confusion and learn the confusing deflection points to confuse the conversation. Because you're unstable. Shall I get a precept? James 1 and 8 is our precept that tells us a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What is double-minded? To be double-minded is to be of conflicting thoughts. You know, which way you're going to go day to day. You are not a person of character and integrity. Character is a fixed, predictable image which produces integrity because you're consistent with your flow of thoughts. Do not vacillate between opinions because you're not swayed by counsel of the godly that David warned us about in Psalms, the first chapter. See, that's a weak-minded person that's easily swayed by someone that's constantly seeking someone else's. So what do you think about that? What's your opinion? Why do you care? That's. But you know, when somebody asked me, "What do you think?" I told them, "I don't." What do you think about so and so? I don't. And when I answer like that, I'm helping them. So you can't make a decision. You vacillate. And you become very insincere. And you know these people because they have no empathy for other people. So you become a hypocrite because you go with the wind, whichever is blowing, with what, whichever way is the popular opinion, you go that route. That's a turncoat. I don't care for you too much because you're double-minded. And Peter's talking about you because he said you're the ones who like to follow Paul because Paul's letters are confusing and they help you to continue in your way of vacillation and your insanity. And it says you rest with his writings because they keep you with a double mind because you understand Paul unless you understand the Old Testament that your pastor tells you not to read or has done away with or that is old. In lies the trick right there, the terminology. By calling it old, you're saying it's obsolete, like it's about to be done away with, and that's so untrue. They're killing you and taking life from you by keeping you from reading the Old Testament, but they'll quickly go there to stop you paying tithes or to get a song from the book of Psalms. Or if they have to go to Genesis. But other than that, don't read it. See the trick? Jedi mind trick? Let's continue with 2 Peter 3:16. He said, and you unstable people, you rest right there with the confusing aspects of Paul, as you do all the other scriptures in the Old Testament with the prophets. And then Peter goes on to say, this is only leading to your own destruction. I see so many vacillating minds who, when they get away from the rigors of the law that keep you on the straight and narrow, they get into this looseness. Christianity with grace and mercy, and I can do what I want. He already paid the price. I can live any kind of way, eat whatever I want. It's done, which is a lie. You lead to your own destruction. So then you wonder why people who are supposed to be, oh, I'm saved, sanctified, love Jesus, still fall into destruction. It's because they're not keeping the commandments, statutes, and laws. And they like the confusion, and they rest with the confusion and just say, hey, who will know? We'll know when he come back. We'll never understand. That is a lie. 17, Peter said, you there, beloved, seeing you know these things before, you beware, lest you yourself be led away with the error of the wicked. He calls these people, these would be people who call themselves to listen to Paul and get and rest. He called them wicked. He said, lest you be led away with the error of the wicked and fall from your own fastness. You can get caught up into a trap of going with the crowd and saying, we just going to follow what Paul say because it's confusing. And who will ever know and vacillate and rest there and lead to your own destruction? Then in 18, he said, grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of the Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. He said, grow. Grow. How do you grow? You got to learn. And the scripture said, study to show yourself approved. You understand that? You've got to study. Not my pastor said, because he preaching out of Paul, and you don't understand it. Paul did away with the commandments. No, sir. No, no. Paul said, let's get and I sound like y'all talking about Paul said, let's go to, I believe I won. One of his scriptures, and not understand it. And then get to another scripture. Let's go to, trying to find what Paul said. We establish the law. And I want to give you this, pull it up on the computer. One second, computer's moving. So he said in Romans 3 and 31. What Shaul said, because you'll read another scripture, he said, you'll think the law is done away with, according to Paul. But then when you go to Romans 3 and 31, he said, we then make void the law through faith, meaning like have faith in grace and just gonna be all right. No, Paul said this, God forbid. He said, Yah forbid. Yea, we establish the law. So even in Romans 3 and 31, he's telling you that the law must be established. And establishment. It's a foundation, a substratum. You've got to establish that first before you go into other things and try to even understand the letters of the gentlemen, the apostles who were reading Torah and Tanakh and knew it like the back of their hands and walked with the Savior, the eternal sacrifice. His sacrifice was that he would come and shed his blood so that we would no longer have to shed the blood of bulls and goats. He redeemed us from the curse of the law also. And half of the curses was the killing, as we read about earlier about rebellious children. We could be stoned to death for breaking these commandments. Well, that doesn't happen anymore because of the sacrifice that HaMashiach, Yeshua, made. So, brothers and sisters, check your vacillating thoughts and minds. Learn to make a decision immediately. And be able to better make a decision if you're connected with the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit. And the way to do that is to start fasting and start praying like Nehemiah did daily. And daily, pray three times. Don't walk out your house without reading the Torah and Tanakh in the Word. The epistles will just encourage you. It's reaffirmation. But start to learn the Torah, Tanakh. Go to Isaiah. Go to Psalms. Go to Obadiah. Start getting the laws inside you and doing them, and that's how you transform your mind. This will help your mind to be set. Wear the holy garments that you must wear. Wear to remind you so that you can get your mind, your spirit, your soul settled. You want to be without spot or wrinkle. You need to focus on him every morning, every night. Stop running to Facebook, Instagram, picking up your phone first thing in the morning, checking your email, setting up rendezvous, making provisions for your flesh. The first provision should be your spirit. Let me feed my spirit this morning. And then maybe let me exercise that my spirit might thrive as I feel better about myself. Let me eat something good. Stuff myself with something that's going to have me grumpy, sleepy, angry. No, this is a job. us exhibiting our patience. Here is the patience of the saints. Let me read that to you before we go. And this is in the book of Revelations. I'll open up my Bible. Revelations, the 12th chapter. Herein lies the patience of the saints. That was Revelations 12. Bear with me, saints. And you know who the saints are according to Psalms 48. Saints are the Hebrews that keep these commandments. So Revelation 14 and 12 says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of you and the faith of Yeshua. Patience is like I'm patiently waiting by preparing for the coming. Somebody's coming over. Aren't there things that you do to prepare? And you patiently await arrival. And they that wait upon the Most High shall renew their strength. You shall mount with wings as eagles. You shall not get weary. You will walk and not faint. Is the patience of the saints. They that keep the commandments exhibits the patience that you're waiting for a returning Savior. It's faith. It's you showing faith that Yeshua's coming back to get me. And he's a man with feet like brass, melanated. Hair like lamb's wool, melanated. I have a Savior that's going to come pull me out of the persecution of this land earth around these people who really don't like me. So let's be steadfast. Let's be unmovable. Let's abound with the grace and faith and strength that we have. Shatter the vacillating mindset. Lose your instability. Stop reading and studying things you don't understand and get a foundation of Torah to not come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments. Get a foundation. You can better understand what Paul was saying according to Peter's Second Peter 3:15-17. You understand that it's for all of you to get because you don't know how to decipher it. Why? How can I hear without a preacher? You must understand the preachers so that you can get it down. All right. This has been Be the Preacher of Life. I've truly enjoyed our time, and I want you to enjoy the rest of your Sabbath, your Shabbat, get you some rest. Meditate on these scriptures that it's so important. It's just a part. You know, some of us can't get to it until the seventh day, but I adjure you to do this 7 days a week. The commandments and focus on them and read about them every day. Don't let a day go by. Don't make all these provisions for the flesh and not make provision for the spirit, for your soul, for your peace, your sanctity. You're living in rough and tough times, and Satan is destroying homes, jobs, finance, children, marriages, mindsets. He's not playing. He's swift, stealth, sleek. But Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against us can prosper. And greater is that that's within us. What you got in you? What's in you? What you putting in you? Greater is that that's in us than anything in the world. So put the right stuff inside you. Make sure you put the right stuff inside you. Listen, this has been our time, and I'm going to tell you, like I always say, the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. Shabbat shalom.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm going to chase you out of earth. Shirt and chase the devil out of her. put on an iron shirt and chase the devil out of earth. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. Satan is a evil old man, but him can't choke it.
Everything that we say, yeah. Even when we show them in the holy word, we're chilling on the Sabbath.
Say, hey, say we're chilling.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
Don't call me, I won't even be answering the phone.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
Say we're chilling on the Lord's Day.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
Seeing you back though, and you telling this right here.
Now don't look for me on no Sunday at your church no more, cause now I keep the holy Saturday. See, I can show you in my Bible, Exodus chapter 20. Just stroll down and look at verse 8
right here.
Verse 8.
The fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And we should always honor the Most High.
Honor the Most High.
And do exactly what He says. And don't let the non-believers convince you that the law is done away with.
What you do?
You just rest and chill with the Most High. Cause the Father knows
who's here.
So just tell Him. We're chilling on the Sabbath.
Say, hey, say we're chilling, y'all.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
You can come through if you want to.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
And learn some scriptures about our Heavenly Father.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
Cause the fourth commandment says,
the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And we should always honor the Most High and do exactly what He says. And don't let the non-believers convince you that the law is done away with. You just rest and chill with the Most High, cause the Father knows who's here.
So tell Him
we're chilling on the Sabbath.
Say, hey, say we're chilling.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
That's all I wanna do is just chill with my Father.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
So don't ask me to even go nowhere.